This is an overview of the Bible overview. Helen Ebert, Chuck Strittmatter leading it. And welcome to this session. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll get underway. So we're looking forward to a good time. And we appreciate you all coming here. I'll make a few introductory remarks and then Helen will be telling us more about the Bible overview. So let's pray. Father, how grateful we are that you understand who we are and what we're like. We've had a good week, a great week, but we're coming down to the end and some of us are weary. And we need a touch of your Holy Spirit to make this time here the most profitable. We realize that in this next hour, hour and a half, the destiny of the souls of men and women are at stake. And so we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your Spirit would come and enliven us and help us to understand and grasp all that you have for us to the end that these souls of men and women will find you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's my privilege to give some introductory remarks before Helen comes up here. I became acquainted with the Bible overview several years ago. In fact, it was about 5 or 6 years ago that we were at a little gathering with Larry and Helen. And Larry and Helen were talking about this, and Larry had a bunch of the tapes. They had taped actual overview presentations, made them available, and my wife was quite excited about them, picked them up. We took them home, and they were moved from one place to another place and finally into a third place. And several years later, you know how God does, said, Bible overview, oh yeah, tapes. So we went, tapes, read, got underway. I phoned Larry, told him we were very interested, and we got underway with the Bible overview. And I've got to tell you that I have never had as much fun in so-called evangelism as I have teaching the Bible overview. It has been the most fun evangelistic approach that we've ever been involved in. And hope to tell you a few stories about that a little later along the way. And as I've thought about it, I've been around the Navigators on staff for 35 years, and as I reviewed Navigator history, this is what I think. The beginning with Christ was a phenomenal tool that helped us. The lessons on assurance when they came out with the lessons on Christian living, some of us remember they were the product of Billy Graham Crusade back in New York in the late 1950s. The studies on Christian living helped us at a time in the mid-1960s that was just tremendous help. And we've had some other tools and materials that have been helpful. But I think the Bible overview approach is in the beginning with Christ and the studies in Christian living class. I really do. I think it's in that class. And it is one of the best kept secrets in the Navigators. It really is. But the word's getting out. People are finding out about it. We had a session in Des Moines, Iowa. I got Helen and her team to come over last January. And I said, we've got some interested people. And we planned on about 20 or 25 people. And we set up this workshop and we ended up with 80-some people on a cold, bitter, typical Iowa January day. 80-some people. They just started coming, showing some interest that we want to find out more about how to reach out to people, and this sounds like something we can do. So this afternoon, we're going to work our way through this. As soon as I step down and turn things over to Helen, I'll give you a pass handout to pass out. I'll give you a handout. You can pass out if you want to. And we'll go through, and we're going to have time today for questions, for interaction. Later on, we've got a good video, excellent video that will just, man, it'll stir your heart and soul. But I want to turn things over to this young lady that you heard from on opening night.
Young lady.
Well, yes, you are.
Okay, I mean, I'll go with that.
When I look around this room, you are a young lady. Yeah, that's right.
We just lost half the audience, Chuck.
That That's right. I want no position. I am not running for. I'm not running for any office. Helen's going to come, and it's been a real privilege for Nancy and I to get better acquainted with Helen. And she has been such a tremendous encouragement and help to us. And I just wish that the team that she's got back in Chicago with her, I wish they could be here. They are some of the most delightful young couples, so full of energy, zeal, vision, commitment, love to one another. And we've been able to have some time around them. And this is another behind-the-scenes part that Helen has going on. So as she talks about some things here, there's a lot else that's behind this. But Helen, you come and tell us a little bit. Okay. Get us going about the overview, will you?
And you're going to pass this
on, I'm going to hand those out.
Okay. Well, I'm very thankful for Chuck and Nancy and their encouragement, kind of champions of the cause here. And really, it's been quite a year for me. In addition to all the other things that I've been going through, to see the Bible overview blessed and to see it increase in the interest and just the whole thing has just been a great testimony of God's hand upon the whole thing. I want to start this afternoon with just talking a little bit about the history of the Bible overview, just to give you kind of the background of this whole thing. Yes?
I didn't get a shirt.
You didn't get a shirt? Well, one, take Chuck's. Yeah, don't take mine. Of course, one of the, we've teased a lot about all the things that could be done in the future with the Bible overview, and one of them is an accessory catalog. And where you could get your shirt or you could get your sweatshirt, or we're talking about Acts 20:24 is our verse, and so we're going to have vision hats with 20:24 vision on it. And, oh, we've got all kinds of things. You have to have a Bible overview bag. And so we may, you know, we may just, well, you when you're around kids the age that I've been working with for these past years, you know, you get into stuff like that, like the shirt and everything. They're so delightful, and they're very enthusiastic and just, I feel so blessed to be working with them. Well, in the early 80s, Larry, of course, we've always been involved in evangelism. Larry and I have always been trying all the new approaches, the John studies, the door-to-door. I mean, everything we could think of, we tried. And I think probably the thing that we enjoyed the most as a couple is just being involved with the lost. Around the early 80s, we were looking for something, and Larry was observing that our pastor at our church, Abner Bauman, would use a kind of a Bible overview with visitors who came, who signed up as a visitor guest that came to our church, and then as he interviewed them and talked with them, he realized that many of them needed to be caught up before they could even make a decision for Christ. And so he started to do this as kind of his follow-up. And Larry had heard about it, and he started attending one of the sessions. And after it was over, he was so excited. He said, "Abner, this is terrific. This is a great potential, and you know, you ought to be training us to do this." And Abner said, "Larry, you know, that's not my thing. That's your thing. Why don't you do that?" And so, with Abner's blessing, Larry went to work. And I think it was about that time that he basically claimed Ezra 7:10, so that he would just actually study the word and to practice it and then therefore to teach it. And he really set his heart on studying the word from a new perspective. And I saw the difference in him. I saw the intensity that he went after this. And it was a very exciting thing to watch because I could see a new vision and a new heart. As he began to develop this, I think in 1987 we did the first Bible overview. And we began to train couples as we went along. And how we did this was people actually would ask us either to come to their neighborhood or to, we just would work with a couple and we would develop them and then we'd pray for non-Christians and then we'd go through the whole process of training. And at one point, I became kind of disengaged a little bit because my parents were ill, and Larry, God gave Larry a bunch of single guys. And we laughed and went, and we said, my gosh, after all these years in the community ministry, God has given Larry a singles ministry. And we got such a kick out of it, and he just loved it, just loved their vitality. And so pretty soon, as it happens, these guys began bringing their girlfriends and hoped to be wives, and eventually we went to all their weddings. And they developed into our core team. And we actually began to work through studying the Bible from an overview perspective, because Larry had been studying it that way. And as a result of that, we began to encourage them in doing one with us. And so they did. They each prepared one of the sessions, and we studied very hard, and then we prayed together, and we recruited together, and we had our first Bible overview with this team. And they were so struck by the response that they saw in the people, and they were so excited about it that we did it again. We did a second one. And the same kind of experience where people were coming out of their seats saying, where have I been? I have never seen anything like this. I've never understood this. I've always wanted to know. And the interest and the curiosity, the intellectual curiosity through the Old Testament began to change as they got into the New Testament, realizing this is not just for intellectual curiosity. This is for, there's a response that's demanded here of me as a result of this. And people were coming to Christ. Many people came to Christ as a result of this. And after that was over, we said, well, now, kids, you want to go out and start developing your own groups, you know, and we'll meet together periodically, but you need to go on and do this. And we were getting together with them, and I remember the exact place I was sitting in the family room at the time, and they at one accord said, you know, we want to help you refine this material so that people, this can be used by a lot of people. Now, in 20 years of ministry, we never had a team come to us and say, we want to help you and your vision and expand it. That, I mean, it was just, they left, and Larry and I were like, wow, you know, this is awesome. This is incredible. You know, God has his hand on this thing, so we went for it. Hours and hours and hours of work. And I want to get into the actual materials in a bit. But before we get into that, I want you to take a look. Take a look at the first page where it has the history, but then also it has the mission statement and mission verse. The mission of the Bible overview is to penetrate secular society for the purpose of creating a thirst for God and His Word in people who know little or nothing about the Bible. I'd like to go through this. I think we're already aware after this week of just the tremendous need that we have, and the secular society is waiting to be caught up. They are so far behind. I don't know if you're experiencing this in your neighborhood or in your communities, but one of Jimmy's friends came over and to the house, and Jimmy had one of those Rolodex things, cards with verses and sports things, and the verses were underneath it. And Kevin came over and said, Jim, look at this. This guy recorded the time that he said it. He had no idea, non-recognizable, that it was from the Bible. He grew up in a home where his parents decided when they got married that they were not going to use any Christianity in their home at all. Kid virtually grew up in a home where he didn't even know what Christmas was, the real reason for Christmas. And Jimmy, as they went out camping, basically told him the story of Mary and Joseph living in a Jewish community. Who's the Messiah, he said. Who is that? And so Jimmy was kind of discouraged when he realized how little Kevin knew, but I said, but Jim, you had the privilege of giving this kid the first step. So we're seeing more and more how far behind people are. There's a lot of catching up before they can even approach the gospel. And that's what the Bible overview does, to penetrate secular society. And, of course, Larry's thing, too, was among the lost versus to the lost. You know, he feels like we need to be out there relating to the lost and not just going to them. For the purpose of creating a thirst. And I want you to note in that that it doesn't say for the purpose of bringing people to Christ. Now, if at the end of a Bible overview, obviously, if we sense that people are ready, we're going to do that. But the mission is to create a thirst. Because almost unanimously, they go on. And if they have a thirst, they will go on. But oftentimes in the follow-up, as we chat with different ones, they come to Christ in that follow-up meeting, or else with their other Bible study leader or whatever. But this is almost like planting the seeds that eventually bring fruit. Creating a thirst for God and His Word. We are really, and during that time, we are correcting a lot of misconceptions that people come in. They come in with some very, very strange ideas and perceptions of who God is. And so we're doing a lot of kind of indirectly correcting those perceptions. And sometimes it's very direct. But we find that that is definitely a part of the process. And also, in terms of thirst for God, we're finding that we are also a dumping ground. As you know, when you start getting into people's lives and you find that at some point they have to express the frustration, whether it was that one person who rejected them, that one pastor who did this or that, or whatever it is, they have to get the garbage out. And I've learned to really not look at that as a negative, but just really accept and appreciate the point that that person is at. And really get excited about, boy, this is, if they've gotten to this point, this is exciting. They're feeling the freedom to dump. We're not always going to have the answers to those questions, but they need to express that. It's important that they express that. For God and His Word, and maybe some of you know where this came from, but one of the things He said often is that we need to let the lion loose. Is that from any navigator that you've heard? I don't know, but he used to talk about that a lot. Let the lion loose. If a lion comes in this room, we are going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to do something with that lion. And that's what you do when, in the Bible overview, you open up the Word of God and you let the lion loose. And you don't have to do too much. They have to deal with it. It's a very exciting process to be a part of. People who know little or nothing about the Bible. I talked about people, how far behind they are. And it's a great recruiter. Because as soon as you talk a little bit about, we do these little things called Bible overviews, and we'd love to have you. Immediately they're going to say, oh, I don't know anything about the Bible. And you say, great. That's the requirement. You know little or nothing about the Bible. And that was, oh, okay. As long as they know that the purpose is to be around other people just like you, then they're much relieved. It takes away a lot of the barriers. Okay, let's go on to, just want to share with you the Acts 20:24 verse from the Living that the kids, we all picked together as a team, but life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. Okay, are there any questions about that part? I'm going to move on then, because the vision and the training goals, you can read that. I would like to move on at this time quickly so that we can, I'd like to show you the materials and give you the essence of it. First of all, before I do that, let's just brainstorm here. In terms of Bible overviews in the Bible, what are some places in the Bible where you will find a Bible overview? Okay, Stephen's in Acts. First and Second Chronicles. Yes. Psalms. Psalms 105. There's bits and pieces. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. Psalms has it all through. You find bits and pieces of it. But there are two, Psalm 105, and what's the other one? There's another one that has the, well, I'll get it for you later because I don't see it right here. Maybe. Could be. Okay, that where there's a longer, a greater section devoted to it. But, you know, the Bible overview is not our thing. It's God's thing. This is not new. It's like we were talking before. This is not new. Going from Genesis to Revelation, this is not new. Larry often talked, people refer to the Bible overview as a tool. He used to like to talk a lot about the fact that it's not a tool, it's an approach. A tool comes and goes. This is God's word. It's enduring. How, whatever happens to this Bible overview, that's another thing. But it's an approach to sharing Christ. And he also liked to talk about it as the whole gospel, presenting the whole gospel. Okay, I want to show you basically the Bible overview materials as of now, and these are the last ones we have. We're going to be probably having to print again. We're kind of at that fork in the road where we're going to have to make some decisions about the future in terms of what we're going to do. We need some help in graphics. I'm hoping that some of the creative resources team here at with the Navigators can help me. These are the three things you would get if you came to training. Just to preempt this, this is not a training program you're in right now. This is an overview of the overview. Some people think, have thought that that's what you're going to get this afternoon. We feel very strongly that you need to come to training to have access to the materials. And these are what you would get. These three things are what you would get if you went to a training session with a Bible overview. The main thing that I want to look at first is this one right here. And I have a lot of them up here for you to look at, but I want you to stick with me for a minute. This is what participants get when they come to the Bible overview. This is what we hand out to people who attend. And this is their own. They have their very own. They take it home with them and they bring it each week. This is what the non-Christians get. And as you look at it, well, let me just read the intro. You are about to begin a journey through time and history as recorded in the all-time number one bestseller, the Bible. The Bible overview will acquaint you with the key people and major historical events of the Bible in an easily understood chronological format. We hope that during the next few weeks, the storyline of the Bible will come alive and take on a whole new meaning in your life. The goal is that you will walk away with a clear and personal understanding of God's word. If you will look in your handout there, you have the first session in your handout. And the first session is a little different because it starts out with the Bible is unique. So that we're not getting quite into the Bible yet, but this is the preempt for the whole thing. And then we go into B, which would be on page 4, the structure of the Old Testament. And 5, the historical highway. And the historical highway is a very important part of the whole. We refer back to that many, many times throughout the whole thing. And then there we start with the outline on page 6. And I want you to note that there are verses that are circled or have the edge around it. Those are the ones that we do memorize. We do memorize. And they're very good about memorizing. This brings me to another thought. People that come to the Bible overview, you can have families come. We've had families come, and the kids, they just show up, the family, in terms of memory. They just love to do that scripture memory, and it just gives me such great thrill to see those kids leave with those verses hidden in their hearts, you know? And then you can do it with just mixed groups. You can do it with 2-on-2, 1-on-1. We've had 4 around the kitchen table. We've done it in just about any way possible. But what I'm going to encourage you to do here is just that this is a great beginning for a mission outpost. It's to gather a team to do a Bible overview. I'm so excited.
Do you find that these lead into like a John study or discussion?
Yes. Yes.
Do they lead right into conversion?
Often right into conversion. But we've used just about everything for follow-up. This gets you in the door, but it usually is the door. It usually is the door. I mean, in most cases, that's what happens. There's a big aspect in session 1 on page 10. Do you have that? Geography. We spend a lot of time in geography, and this is just part of the what you would call teaching aids. That helps give the time. People say, oh, it's a teacher-oriented type thing. Well, it is, but we, as teachers, you want to add as much interest and different kinds of, it uses many kind of creative teaching aids as possible. People love the geography. We review it every week, and they're so proud when they know things, and you can tell, you know, they just kind of get real, they get real, feeling really good about themselves because they know this. In one of the groups, they so much like the geography aspect that as they went into the John study, they wanted to do geography every week. I mean, how many Navigator studies have we do geography every week? No, it's just what happened as a result of this. And it was so funny. They had these big maps and they would, you know, but that's what they liked. And, of course, you're going to go with it. So it's just great. Okay, then you'll see on page 11, summary. And so each session has a summary. And so at the end of every session, you review what you've learned. And then at the beginning of every session, you review again. So you're always reviewing just like you would if you were a teacher. Okay? The continuing sessions are just in the same format as you see there. So really and truly, here you have your outline already, correct? You have your outline. Okay, in the training manual that you get when you come to training. I feel a little bit like I'm trying to sell you something. And I am. No. It's just, I'm going to give, in fact, these that you see here, I'm giving to Bob Walls. And he is going to play with it on the campus. They're excited about seeing how it might work out there. Yeah, we're just at the beginning of it. As you can see on your handout, we're under construction. You're at the beginning of something that is really, I mean, it's flying. I can't keep up with it. I'd like to issue a call here to anybody who feels called to the Bible overview and help us out because it's, I feel like I'm running ahead of an avalanche. About 20 feet, and all my team is with me, you know, because it's just happening so fast. Okay, here's the training manual, and as you, I wanted you to see that basically what we do is that we're doing some of the same things here, but the actual components of the Bible overview are learning about preparing your heart and mind, preparing the presentation and delivery, recruitment, hospitality, and follow-up. So there's a number of very valuable things in here, including outlines, suggested outlines, or for each session. So when you leave the training program, you have not only the outline that's here, you have outlines that leaders have used. And then in addition to that, the third component, you have Larry's tapes that don't go exactly according to those, but they cover everything. It's just that he made these so long ago that our materials have changed. So you have a lot to help you, to guide you into preparation for this. One of the reasons I was so excited to share this with you is because Navigators, I don't have to convince you to love the lost. You already have that in, you know, you love the lost. You desire people to come to know him. And the second thing is that you love the Word. And you have a good handle on the Word. And so this, coming together with some things, filling in this, is not going to be a problem for you. It really isn't. You probably have some actual stories that you like, and you maybe even include in there to adjust to your personality. That's another thing I want to mention here. The reason that there isn't a scripting or an actual script for this is because we feel that this needs to come out of your walk with God and your strengths. That story that you love, that theme that you feel is so critical to understanding the whole gospel. And one of the important sections in here is themes, because there has to be the themes that run through the whole thing, like take a theme like redemption, from beginning to end. And so you weave that through and they see, again, the whole gospel. Or the theme of judgment and grace. Or the theme of the heart of man. You know, they just begin to see it. It's so clear. The light bulb just goes on. We also include in here things like, just to mention, prayer walking in your neighborhood. This is what Marian Lee shared with us. It's a great thing to help people. You know, the first thing you need to do is start getting out there and pounding the pavement with prayer. And there's other things in here too as well, but also we talk about different creative ways to invite people to the Bible Overview. So that's basically the materials. It's we invite people to 6 weeks. You could even say this. We invite people to 5 weeks of the Bible Overview. And then we add, if they'd like to, as an optional session, church history. And by the time they go through the five, they're just so, they all come to the sixth. We always begin with some kind of eating together, either soup and salad or whatever works with your group. I mean, but that eating together, that fellowship time, that relating together is very, we feel very critical to the whole picture, because it's that aspect of community that we were talking about. Okay. Any questions about the materials? And
yeah, how long is the training course?
The training is a day and an evening.
Can we fly
you separately? Sure. We haven't flown anywhere yet. We drove in an ice storm to Des Moines, but we haven't flown anywhere yet. So we're just getting this all together now. Yes. Not just children. I have a friend who is in a mainline denominational church that runs the youth group that would like us to bring it into a youth group. But there's another option.
What's the youngest age?
The youngest age that I can think of that was in a Bible Overview was 10. They hung in there, but they were in there because they knew the verses and they showed up those adults. Okay, walk through, for one thing, is for Christians. This is designed for non-Christians. This is designed for the lost. And probably if Larry were here, he would say, if you want, this could be a hot thing for a church Sunday school group. I mean, wouldn't they love it? But you won't use these materials for a church Sunday school group, because that's not what they're designed for. No preparation. Yes, Chuck.
Just a clarification. If you had a leadership team that you were trying to train to go to the lost,
Well, we do have a model out of, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, a little bit later. Okay? Can I address that later? I wanted to address one other thing right here, and that term, in terms of, I still say that navigators are beautifully suited for this whole program. I think that in terms of leader qualifications, you need to have an Ezra 7:10 heart, and because this is a process for life. You're going to be looking at the Bible and perceiving as you're preparing for this in a different light, and it's very exciting. You also, you know, you have to have that learner mentality. You have to love to tell the story. Now, so, I mean, I can't speak for any of you because I've not heard any of you teach. But I think it's Hannah Whitehall Smith that said it's a sin to bore people with the Bible. Now, you might want to talk to somebody else about your abilities in this area. But because I don't know them. But that is something you need to consider. You like to love to tell a story. Doesn't mean you have to be a dynamic speaker and do flip-flops up here. But you have to love to tell a story. You have to enjoy using the aids and different things to make it interesting. It's an hour and a half.
Well, I was going to say, at the same time, though, it really is a team effort.
Yes.
So don't automatically think, ooh, I shouldn't have come here. I wish I would have known that, because
right.
You do need a team with some various parts.
That's right. When it's team taught, you're teaching a certain portion of it, maybe session one, and maybe somebody else is teaching session two. Of course, you're all there together, and you're all relating to the lost. But you divide up the responsibilities. I'd like Chuck to come up and share some war stories with him. Nobody can share a war story like Chuck. And then I have a video that I'd like you to see of a fellow that came through the Bible Overview. Okay, Chuck?
Well, the second time I went through the Bible Overview, we had two couples that we had been in Bible study with for several years. We talked to them about doing this Bible overview, and each one of them got two couples. So we, Nancy and I, we had seven of us couples that started this Bible overview. And John, he got his neighbor across the street, and he wasn't sure about his neighbor. He just moved into a new neighborhood. He wasn't sure about them. And we had a setup meeting where we came and we talked about the whole Bible overview, what we would do and everything. And they were very positive. We passed out the materials, started off a little bit into it. Denny, he had gotten two of his fraternity brothers that he had, was in contact with. And these couples were probably in their 30s, and then the ones they invited, a couple in their 40s. So we started off in this Bible overview. Three of them were Roman Catholic, and one was from a Methodist background. And we really had fun. We took off into Genesis and had a fabulous time through Genesis. I remember when we got into Exodus, we had told a story at the first part about how Moses, in a very special way, was preserved by God instead of being destroyed because of the edict that came down from Pharaoh regarding all the little baby boys. And then how Moses had been banished, and then how God met him in Exodus 3 and was talking to him about going back to lead out his people in the Exodus, and how Moses argues with God. And we spent quite a bit of time on that because it shows so much the character of God, how patient he is with us as we argue with God. And they were really biting into this all the way. And finally, you know, he says, I can't speak. I can't talk. And, of course, God says, well, Aaron, your brother is back there. You go back, and Aaron will help you. And one of the wives, I'm going to call her Betty, she said, that's interesting. I said, what? Aaron. I said, what do you mean, Aaron? How'd he manage to survive? Survive what? Well, they killed all the baby boys off. What's Aaron doing back there? I thought, she's listening. I mean, I'd never thought of the question before. And you know, you're doing this, you say, Holy Spirit, what's the answer for that? Well, so we are going on a little later. And here we are with getting towards Moses, the end of his life. And I said, now, Moses is coming to an end. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. But Moses will not go into the promised land. He's disqualified. Betty says, how come? How come? I said, well, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this to kind of put a little hook into it and the rest. And I said, well, he hit a rock. She said, he did what? I said, he slapped a rock and God didn't like that. She said, I don't like that at all either. So I said, well, let's read about it. So fortunately, the text does a lot better job than my answer. But they were ready to find out what it was about by then. So we get all the way through, and she said, that's not fair. What wasn't it, Nancy? She said, that's not fair.
She said, I really have a problem with that.
So I said, well, I said, hang on. I said, let's go to the last chapter in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34. I said, it's probably one of the most precious chapters in the whole Bible because God, so we read it. And I said, now, you see the story. God takes Moses and takes him up to this mountain, shows him all the promised land, lays it all before him and everything, and then God just takes him right into heaven with him. And then she said, Betty said, that's okay. That's okay. Now get this. He got to go to heaven. That hit me. Boy, that just bang, because I thought, wow. You know, those of us who have lived in the evangelical subculture so long, we have a mentality of make a decision for Christ, and we talk all about life from there on. Most of us theologically embrace the assurance of our salvation. We don't really revisit that question except with certain people that we minister to. There are a number of our dear brethren in some other parts of Christendom who do not have that orientation, as you know, as well as now get out of the church and just go out there with people who ever think about life, the hereafter, if there's a God out there and if there's any kind of justice, judgment, will I make it? And I thought, boy, she said it. She really hit it right on the head. Well, can I tell the rest of the story?
Sure.
Where we are now.
Okay.
Huh?
Oh, how did Aaron? They want to know the answer to the question.
There you go. He was older, and we don't really have an answer from the text. The only thing that we can kind of presume on it or assume is that this edict came down, which Moses got caught in, came down after Aaron's mm-hmm. birth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to be honest with those kind of questions. And you have to tell and say, you know, we really don't have an answer for this. It's the same way when you're in Genesis 3. Where did evil come from? You know, this does not give an answer to this at this point. And we found you have to be very honest with these people of what the Scriptures do say and don't say, where you are. Sometimes you say, now we're going to find out more about this later, but right here, this is all we know. Because you take them through the story of what's a progressive revelation, as you know. And they stay tuned. They keep waiting for the rest of it as God keeps working with His people and how He shows Himself and all the rest. And it's so exciting to see. We finished the first session and they were hooked. Helen, Larry, they did this, Sunday night, you know, every week. Well, I was traveling with the commission back and forth and we set it up for an every other Tuesday night. And then I had some trips and I think we were 5 months in doing this study. It did not bother them one bit. They flexed with it. They were there. We rarely had anyone miss.
They said,
we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're here. I mean, they were there. We ended the study.
He said, what do you do in Iowa in the evenings anyway?
We just enjoy life.
Kick back.
Have fun. Pop popcorn. Yeah. That's right. We finished this, and when we finished it, I said, now, I have two suggestions. One is, we might like to have a picnic, invite the kids, and come on over and have a picnic. And he said, oh, that's a good idea. Everybody showed up at the picnic. We had a great time. Then I said, some of you might be interested in doing a study. We've been doing this overview. I tell them we're going to read a book through binoculars. And so some of this is going to frustrate you like crazy. But I said, we do have a note page, so write down your questions, and we'll go later into something. And they were already signed up for that. But I got caught up in traveling, and we never got that launched. So I finished up in March, and I thought, I wonder if this trail's warm, hot, or what. So I went back to Rick. Rick was one of the guys that was just really keen. He was John's neighbor across the street. And he one night after a session, he came over and sat down by me and says, you know, this is exciting. He said, you know, there's not a day goes by I don't spend an hour in this book. So at the end of the study, I take him out for lunch and I said, Rick, give me some feedback. Tell me about, he said, that was fantastic. He said, you know what I'd like to do? He said, I'd like to have you come over to our parish, meet our priest. I'd like to see if you couldn't teach us in the whole parish. And I thought about that and I said, Rick, that's great. You know what I'd like to do? I said, I'd like to go over to your parish, meet your priest, and help you teach this in your parish. I said, that's what I'm about. Wait. He swallowed that one big time. So I went back to Rick, and he said, well, you know, we never got that study. And I felt so terrible we never were able to follow up in the study. He said, so the priest was teaching us a study. So he said, we've been going over to that. He says, it's really great. You ought to come over to it. So he tells me all about it. And we're standing out in his yard talking. And across the street, Betty and her husband are there. So we go over and start talking with them and say, oh, you ought to come to this Bible study. It's really great. So the next Tuesday night, Nancy and I go over with them. And we sit in on the study that the priest leads. And there's about 18 of them there sitting around the table. They all got their Bibles open. The priest opens up with some beautiful prayers. We're warmly welcomed, and they're studying Psalm 6. So they read through it. He asks a question, and we're off. And they're looking into it, and they're trying to figure out what it says. There's no study guide. And this one lady said, you know, boy, I don't know, but this guy really sounds like he's having a hard time. Like he's really struggling with his whole thing about God. He said, I don't know about it. And one lady next to her says, well, I kind of cheated. I read a couple chapters ahead. He comes out okay. This is kind of the people. And Nancy here said, and then Betty, Betty's husband isn't there, and she's kind of sitting next to us. Is that right? Is that right, what they're saying? You know, she's constantly nudging Nancy and everything. Then she says, hey, can we go out for coffee afterwards? So we went out to coffee and just got caught up where she is on her spiritual journey, and that's another story of this precious woman. But you can just see how the Spirit of God is just bringing her in and going. I've gone back to the study since another night and really enjoy the group, really enjoy the priest. He's kind of a cake, an evangelical cake with Roman Catholic frosting. How do you like that one? Is that a good word picture? Well, I could go on, but I'm just praying that in some way. And then I talked to Rick just before I came out because he wanted me to look up evangelical purgatory. And that's an interesting study, if those of you haven't done it. So we dialogue on some of this stuff. I mean, he's just really moving. And so he said, now, I told him I wouldn't be there. And I said, boy, I really like that study, Rick, and I really enjoy your priest. He's a Dominican priest. And Rick says, you know, they take a vow to study the Bible 4 hours a day. And this guy's a dear man. He's such a dear man. And he said, well, he really likes you. And I thought, boy, if God gives that favor, I don't know where it's going to lead. But, you know, this is just a little... You know, we're just underway with this thing, and we got to get back and follow some more. We could tell you more about that.
There's a million of them.
But isn't that fun? Yeah. You guys know what you get into with these dear, dear people. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
We're going to watch a video. What are we
going
to do?
Yeah, this is... Do you want to introduce it, or do you want...
Does that give you an idea? And I could tell you all kinds of other comments, too, along the way. We got a video?
This is a fellow that came through the Bible overview, and then at the last training session, we asked him to basically give a testimony on how the Bible overview influenced his life. And this was one of those guys that is just a character. But listen to what he says, and we'll talk a little bit afterwards on just some of the things.
I didn't put anything structured together to talk to you about because I was... interested kind of in just sharing thoughts with you. First of all, the main point in the Bible overview, I think, is to draw people who aren't very close and aren't making legitimate steps to get closer to who God is and to know Him personally. And our experience with Helen's overview, I can honestly say was definitely life-changing. Prior to the overview, my wife Sherry and I were occasionally attending church, terribly uneducated in what is in the Bible, and not at all trying to build a relationship with Christ. And the overview was a major stepping stone for us as far as getting started on the right track. It was kind of multi-level. The overview itself was interesting, and I think the part that really made the difference for Sherry and I was the people. You get involved in a group of people that you like who magically make you feel comfortable, and you want to go back. And when it's done, you want to continue. And they were there for us. They made us feel incredibly comfortable. The first time I met Helen and Larry, I'm telling you the truth, I felt like I'd known them for years. They were so good at sort of bringing down the walls and letting you feel comfortable. It was a great situation. And then with the work afterwards, where we started in the Bible study with Skip and Gail, and we went over the John book, which was very much enlightening. It was the first time I had ever taken a good, strong, solid look at one of the books in the Bible from start to finish. So it's kind of interesting. We started out with the overview, seeing the whole picture, and then went right into the details. And I'm telling you, it was a terrific situation. And the beauty here is that it's ongoing. It's still happening now. Sherry and I have gone from not a lot of interest in knowing God 180 degrees around and have gone to just searching him out daily. And I completely give the credit to the people that we were involved with this Bible overview. It's very important. By the way, I just want to add this. I came in here and I expected to see a lot of people. But I tell you, it's a wonderful feeling seeing almost all these chairs full. I feel almost like I'm looking at victory. Amen. The other situation that I wanted to share with you on this overview was some of the feelings that it brought out for myself. Prior to the overview, my understanding of God and the Bible were, like I say, I didn't know anything about it. I had probably never opened the Bible and read something with intent of trying to remember it. And what it did was it opened my eyes, almost in a bad way, because I had always assumed that everything in the Bible made perfect sense. If you studied it and you looked at it and you felt you opened your heart, I just had no doubt in my mind that it made sense. And as I was going through the overview, I wasn't seeing what I felt was something that made sense. It seemed, especially in the Old Testament, some of the stories where God would guide someone and give them extreme guidance and personal touch, and this person would bang her turn off right in the wrong direction and start going the wrong way. That made me angry. Over and over again in segments of the overview, I was seeing stories that I just didn't like to hear. I didn't want to hear it. I couldn't believe these people who were touched by God could ignore him and continue going the wrong way. And it really made me angry. I'm not going to hold back. I'm telling you, there were nights. There were nights after the overview that I was really steaming. It was about three quarters of the way through, maybe towards the end, actually. And I was on my way home with Sherry, and I was just kind of letting her have it in the truck on the way home. Yelling at her. But actually, what was going on in my heart was important, because what I was basically saying to her was, nothing I'm seeing makes sense. There's nothing I can hang on to, and there's no stories that I've heard yet that I feel started right and ended right in the way I was understanding it. And I went home. This, by the way, is I'm kind of changing it. I'm going into a story of how God came to get me. I want to share this with you. Because I was angry. And I was on the way home, and I was telling God, by yelling at my wife, that I needed something to hang on to. All these stories that I've been going through in the Bible and looking and soaking up like a sponge but not really understanding it weren't making sense. So we got home and I went out in the garage and Sherry was inside, and I said to God, I went out in the driveway and I said, you got to give me something to hang on to. You're not giving me enough. And I said this and I meant it, and I'll never say anything like this again. No, I said this. Show me something that's truly right. Show me one thing that's truly right from start to finish. Or I'm going to close this door and I will never open it again. And I meant those words. I meant it. And just as I had thought this, I realized that I'm looking at this tree in my yard. And I realized the earth is an exact example of what I was looking for. It's perfection. And of course, for a second in my imagination, I went off for a little bit, and there's water and there's trees and rocks and the atmosphere, and the earth is round and there's moons. And I just went for a second and realized how right what God made is. Now, granted, we're kind of messing it up. But what he made was truly right. And just as this came over me, it started to rain for about 15 seconds. And I'm telling you the truth. If God had stood right in front of me and said, "This is my point," he wouldn't have made it more clear to me than what he did. From that moment on, I never doubted what was in the Bible as right. I thought, and I know that when I misunderstand something, or let me re-say this, I know I misunderstand things in the Bible. There are things that I've read that aren't important for me to understand at that moment when I read them. But I have nothing but faith that what is in there is right and long-lasting. Start to finish. I wanted you folks to know this because this all sprouted through Helen and Larry with this Bible overview. Hopefully, you're all going to have a chance to touch people the way that I've been touched. I'm proud to be here. I'll tell you, I'm nervous. But I'm proud to be here because what you're in the middle of, you folks are knee-deep in the middle of something extremely important. I've heard Christians say that there's a battle going on. And it's kind of hard to picture this as a battle between Christians and non-Christians. But I think nonetheless there is somewhat of a battle, at least an important difference. And what you're aiming at doing, I'm so proud of you, is going over the front line and pulling people in. And I wish you the best of luck, and I'll always pray for you. I wish my wife Sherry could be here. She's, as Helen said, she's in the middle of recovery over a fairly bad operation. I'll fill you in on some details. We've been trying to have kids, and she hasn't been making it. And she went over and had some ultrasounds done, and they found a very large cyst on her ovary. And the ultrasound technician wrote it up or put in his report that it was malignant, cancerous. And the reason why this was seen this way is because if these cysts are clear and round and full of just liquid, there's probably no chance of cancer. But if there's hard filling in it, or if it has hardened walls, it's a good chance it's cancerous. And she went down to the x-ray specialist, and they came back with pretty much the same words. It could be cancerous. So she went into the hospital, and the doctors pulled this cyst, and they found out that the hardening on the cyst was like a form of scabbing, and it wasn't cancerous. And we found out from the lab on Tuesday night that it definitely was benign, non-cancerous. So that was beautiful. But what I wanted to share was this. Through about a week and a half of sheer fear that Sherry might have cancer, we were blanketed with thoughts and care and prayers from people all over the area, like you. And I can tell you that feeling was incredible. And again, without the overview, Sherry and I would have never even said anything to anyone about, except family, about the scariness that we're going through and the possible trouble. And again, sprouted from the overview, we went right to our Christian friends and said, "Frankly, pray for us." And we were just covered with a blanket of comfort. I wanted you to know that too. So it continues. That's all I have to say.
Okay, you can turn that off now. Oh, well, I guess all you can say after that is one word, and that's amen, huh? First of all, I have to tell you, having Bob in a Bible overview was an incredible experience. I probably the first person that we had that swore. I mean, profanity in the house. But the thing is that we all knew. I mean, it was clear that God was really, you know, at work, and that Satan was really trying to destroy the work. And so we prayed and prayed for Bob and Sherry. And to hear, I went to his baptism, I went to their baptism, just to hear their expressions of, you know, it's just a, just, this is just a great example of what can happen in the Bible overview. But I want you to look, I want you to reflect a little bit on what we saw, because I think it's significant. What are some observations about his, the things that attracted him? The relationships. Now, did he at all at any time say anything about the way we wonderfully presented the Word of God? No. Did he say anything about, you know, I mean, obviously the Word had an effect. It had a major effect on him. But in terms of all our work on presentation and developing everything, that wasn't the key thing. What else did he say that was significant that would help be helpful? That's right.
Seemed to be a lot self-discovering. I mean, he was discovering it without being taught.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what's so exciting about this.
We're seemed like it brought God into focus without him being aware of it.
Yeah.
In other words, it's the history that somehow God got the focus without him being aware.
That's right. It created a thirst for God and His Word.
It also laid the groundwork for him to have an encounter with the living God.
Yeah.
He saw him as though face to face.
Yeah. Just those words that he said, you know, I'll never say those words again. But, I mean, think of what he was doing. I mean, just a great guy. Just a great guy, yes.
Well, it's evident the lion's got a hold on.
That's right. The lion got loose, and it got a hold of him.
Yeah.
Was that his time of conversion?
That's a good question. I think it really is. I think he might say that. But, I mean, there's no doubt in, you know, in terms of, I haven't heard the extended testimony. Yes?
Was this before he got really involved in Christian circles? His communication seemed so unreligious.
Well, he was pretty new. Yeah, he's pretty new. But he's, I love the way he comes in and says, it's like I see victory. And then he goes, amen. You know, and it's like, you know, he knows a few things. But that is what's so refreshing about this, that we can have this on tape, because it is so natural. It isn't, he doesn't have all the trappings, and that's what's so refreshing about it.
This was just in April, 2 months
this
ago.
This is in April.
And
oh, yeah,
a,
this is just in
at
April.
At a training, actual training
right.
Seminar.
Right. Pete. Mm-hmm. One of the team, in fact, the couple that recruited him to come, they went on with it. There were six of them. They all came to Christ.
The thing that really connected with them was stories rather than systematic propositional truth.
Yeah.
By the way, Eugene Peterson has a new book out called Leap Over the Wall. It's on that whole theme of telling the story. It really fills in some of the background on what the Bible overview does.
Well, the whole thing of telling the story, as we were talking about, is just really becoming the hot thing. I don't know if you noticed even on Broadway. There's a group, a Christian theatrical group, that has actually gotten a theater that's on Broadway. And all they're doing is reading the Word. Yes. No, I'm not familiar with that. Sounds like a great idea.
There's from Foundations. It's got most of the time Genesis, but it's so elaborate.
Sure.
Is this pretty interactive?
Well, it's for the most part, it's not interactive. I mean, you try to, because you have to get across a certain amount of material, but there is time. Pete?
Could you give a little bit of a picture of what evening would look like? You start out with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's predominantly lecture or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. Let me just get through this other stuff first, and then we'll do that. There's just a few things I wanted to get through here, because we're at the Bible overview is a training environment. Actually, as I almost wish I would have changed that, because I see the Bible overview as a really perfect environment for the beginning of a mission outpost. I mean, there's some things that are different, that I can see some differences or some difficulties, but really, basically, it's a very... You recruit a team around you to help you do this, and you just pray for the lost, and you get involved in people's lives, and it's really a great way to do that. I think it's a great, I don't know if you guys remember the IOC and the way we did the John studies with instruction, observation, and critique. Well, basically, that's what we did. I mean, we trained them, it's like a training program in a sense. We did everything with them. We prayed with them. We reviewed verses. We did all the things. We went on retreats. We had fun together. All the things that you think of as inputting and imparting in training.
How many people were you talking about?
As the training team?
In
the group that he was in was probably about 15. And we talked about numbers. I've talked with a few of you about numbers, and I'd say 10 to 15. One time we had 24. Larry had to call in a friend, and they split it up and went into two rooms in the house.
What's the Christian-non-Christian ratio?
Always more non-Christians than Christian. Your Christian friends are going to want to come. If they come, they have to bring a non-Christian. But the most effective environment is more non-Christians than Christians. Okay, let me go on here so I can get through this. The present status of the Bible overview is that we have trained over 200 and we've had over 300 participants. We've added one new couple to the team that is really interested in helping us with development. We are working on an advisory board. We're finishing refining the materials. One of the things I wanted to briefly tell you about as well, because we have plenty of time for questions, one of the team members is providing a wonderful model in the church for us. And what I mean by in the church is that this is a church that is wanting to develop an outreach mentality in their people right from the start. And so right from the pulpit, we've gotten a lot of, it's not my church, but from Grace Community Pulpit, they have really been excited about starting the Bible overview. What they do is the different people in the church volunteer their neighborhoods. So there's a host family, and they go through a little kind of training program on how to be a host family. And they basically have said, we have really good relationships in our environment and in our neighborhood, and we want to have something like this happen in our neighborhood. So Grace now has got to the point where they have a teaching team. So the teaching team comes in to the couple's neighborhood and spends the whole 6 weeks with them and their neighbors. And they go through this. And then when it's over, the training team kind of pulls out, but the host couple continues the Bible study on, and they're getting help in following up. And I was talking to one of the gals that is involved in this, and of course, one of the couples that's on the team is one of our former training couples. So, I mean, it's really great, that whole attitude. And I said to Sid, do you have any like statistics on how many people are coming to your church as a result of all of these outreach things? And she looked at me and she said, no, we're pretty much thinking kingdom. And I said, oh my gosh, Sid, you are right on. That is so exciting to hear that, because it's not an issue. The pressure is not there and not from the pulpit. They are totally with it, but they're wanting to develop a kingdom mentality. Praise God. So this is a very special model. I don't know what the future is for the Bible overview out of the church. If you can develop, if God can develop and bring about some more things like that, that would be incredible. But no Sunday schools. Got to keep it in the hands of the lost. The future is that we have approximately, in Chicago area, we have 9 Bible overviews going on this fall. There's 4 going out of Grace Community Church alone. We're thinking about, as I said, we're going to print. We have no training this fall because I have the picture here of our training team. I have a responsibility to this group of young couples. And so I'm backing off a little bit, as much as everybody's like, over this, you know, give me the materials, we want training, da da da. But these kids are my first priority. Even though I'd love for this to go out, I have to guard them. And I guard their marriages. So all we're doing this fall is they're going back into the trenches. We're not doing any training. We'll get together, or they're going to get some development for them. So I want you to understand that, because this is a great idea and God has his hand on it. But certainly we don't want to sacrifice these delightful, loving kids for that. We are having a training probably in April, in Chicago. Somebody has already approached me here this week for a training between January and April in Denver, Colorado. So that will be for staff, Navigator staff. And we're very excited about that, as I said, because I really see this as such a great fit for you all. I can't tell you. I almost levitated right off my seat earlier in the week because of how I saw this as fitting with you all. I was really very excited. The future, probably our biggest prayer request at this time is that God would continue to bless, but we need more people to help us train. We need to develop some training teams that can go out to different cities and train people. So that would be the main prayer. There are a couple of other things I want to share with you here. First of all, this 30 Days to Understanding Church History is a book that is out of print, and Sunlight Curriculum up in Littleton has it, but you can't get it unless you order it through like mass orders. So I have a few of these. These are $15. It's a great, helpful tool for getting ready for the church history thing. And then this has nothing to do with the Bible overview, but with a very dear friend of the Bible overview. Mike Sabo has just published it. You know Mike, he's sitting back there. He's been here all week, and he has just published a book, The Life I Want in Christ, and you can't get this anywhere, and so his book is available to you. Mike is a dear friend of Larry's, so I want to promote it. I have up here cards that I would like you to fill out. I want you to fill them out, though, if you're very serious. I mean, everybody's curious, and this is a great thing, but only if you're really serious about wanting to get training. Or if you are really serious, and/or if you are really serious about hosting a Bible overview training in your area. So I've got up here, I want you to put your state up here real strong, up here in the right-hand corner, so that way I can divide these up according to states and find out, you know, where people are located and how we can help you and serve you in this way. So I think we're almost 20 after. Let's go into some of those questions that you had. Yes, Jay.
You said they left the Denver training.
No, they just invited us, and we're going to do that as soon as we, thanks. As soon as we get back, I need to talk to the training team.
Who is that?
Mark Johnson and Bob Wilbraham and Bob Lovelace.
Is your teams of 4, teams of 2? How
large are teams? Oh, well, we have the 3 extra couples. I mean, I think in terms of leading a Bible overview, you probably want to keep it to like 2 couples would work, 3 couples. You know, you're dividing up the responsibilities as far as hosting and who's going to lead. Chuck, anybody? Yes.
For actually doing the day and a half seminar.
Yes.
The training for it.
Yeah.
Could not just one person do that? I mean, do you need to have a whole team of people come in to do it? What's the advantage of having a whole team?
Well, because in terms of them all receiving the information at the same time, I think there's a sense of when you're all there together and you're in and on together that it just seems to be, is people seem to be more responsive to it rather than one person going back.
How many people, your team coming in to teach
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Training seminar.
Well, we're trying to work that out. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. We're trying to reduce the number so that we can maybe just go with three. I mean, I guess, I think, I don't know, some of you who have done seminars, I think the best number is like two or three. It's going to be very hard for me to hold back these kids. They want to be a part of it.
By the way, just out of interest, how many of you really strikes a respondent chord? I mean, you say like, you know, my goodness, this is something How many of you
praise
want to
God.
Start? How many of you want to start this September?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are you looking at me like that for? Well.
Training session if people would come to Chicago rather than thinking in terms of you're having to go to them.
Right. Well, I think it would be almost easier for us to go to them because then we as a team have to provide the logistics, getting people from the airport, you know, and the food and the whole thing. And that's why it's easier for us to fly in. All of these kids have full-time jobs. We've got bankers and insurance people and, you know, all one works full-time for Willow Creek and...
I'm not qualified to teach this.
He is.
If it's in my town,
We figured out where that evangelical purgatory is.
It's in Iowa. Yes, Sharon. Well, I think so. In terms of what we'd like to see develop is, you know, almost like in the future there could be, you know, like a not an official representative, but, you know, yeah, that I would hope that someday we could do that. Once the feeling of, you know, that you've been through enough where you feel like you could do that, that, you know, we have to work that out. But, yes, I would hope that in the future that would happen. Yes, that's how we started.
Start with one person and a person in training, the next time around you get two people.
Yes.
So
yes, you can do it that way, but we started with three couples in training. Yeah. But yes, that would be the way to do it. That the first couple we trained was just like that.
Mm-hmm. How about switching back to any questions? I just wanted to get that and didn't want to sabotage it. But any other questions about the overview that
Well, in terms of, there's a lot of interest on the email I'm getting. By the way, my email is on the back here, and my everything is on here except we've got a post office box number if you want to write. But there's also the email, and there's also a phone number on there. But yes, we're at this time again trying to create a package for people overseas. I mean, missionaries have called us, but they can't come to the training. One of the last things Larry did was when we were in Ghana, he did do a training for leadership in Ghana. But Larry's heart and vision was international. So, I mean, there were so many people that were coming after us, you know, China, you know, because it would be such a great, you know, talk to Bob about Russia and just lots of areas that this would be really, really helpful in different languages. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
This is some of the stuff we go on the training. Yes, it's, you know, you can do a couple of different things. We always had Bibles available. We encouraged them to bring a Bible if they wanted to. We've had everything, you know how Leroy Imes used to talk about the Holy Bible. Well, people have come in with their big family Bibles, you know, to kind of, you know, getting through this. But then we do have Bibles available. We do have Bibles. Oh, yes. Well, if it's what we have done in the past is if anybody would like to volunteer. We also, if nobody volunteers, then the leader usually has somebody ready to read. But whenever you can get the person reading it for themselves, again, that's that whole lion thing.
And you do you have to be sensitive.
Yeah.
And, that's one of the first things you want to do is create a very safe environment where there's no embarrassment. So, you know, yeah. We told people, we'll be reading different parts. If mm-hmm. there's anybody here who would prefer not to read, you know, just let me know. Yeah. Because I don't want anybody to do that. And also, we tell them how to pronounce hard names. You know, the classical, when you come to the hard name, you just say hard name.
Yeah.
And, you know, you diffuse things so that, it, you know, the other thing I wanted to say about that that we really encourage is, you saw Bob's word here. Wasn't that refreshing? You know, you strip away all the evangelical jargon uh-huh. and all the Christianese, but when you go into the Bible, you encounter God, sin, evil, and you're talking about, this is the vocabulary of this book. So you're talking the kind of talk you want to talk, but just strip it away from a bunch of that stuff that we mm-hmm. talk in this funny language amongst ourselves. Yeah. And they find that very helpful. Yeah.
It's a treasure, it really is.
I want to address a question to Chuck.
Okay.
In evaluating, okay, you had a ministry going when you started this. And you testified it's one of the most fun things you've done.
Yeah.
How much of your ministry time did it?
Did it take?
Yeah.
Not really very much at all. It was just one of those things, Nance, that we just scheduled in. Tuesday night, we went over there. My prep took some time. Some parts took a little more than other for me to be familiar with what I was going to. I'm a talker. I struggle immensely with trying to cover the material. And in that one study, I got to make a public confession. I cheated and we did an extra lesson. We didn't get through the one lesson like we were supposed to. And I apologized. And they said, that's okay. We'll do it next time.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you say, relationally, the last hours a week or something?
Oh, no. Night. When we were doing it every other week, there was the one Tuesday evening. I mean, it was the whole evening. And maybe, 2 to 4 hours prep for that presentation. And we really didn't spend any time with the couples as we were going through it. The people who invited them stayed in touch and stayed mm-hmm. in contact. We didn't stay as much. I'm going back now and doing that. Yeah.
Melanie.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that's...
No, I'm just trying to figure yeah. you know, I get excited about
everything. Right. Yeah, time-wise. But hey... Yeah, and this is one of the things that I learned from the commission and in this whole situation, and that is that I will not do a grassroots ministry again without a team. I will not operate without a team. And that's one of the big things we're praying for right now. And hopefully we can get some people in that team who, when we're gone or have to step out, can help continue on. And that's where we are in it right now. We're back to relaunch, starting all over again, a grassroots ministry in Des Moines, but... That's
great.
A good point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We usually start early on it depends on the group, but we usually start on Sunday night and you're out of there by 8. So that they, you know, most business people, you know, they just want to get Sunday night's a kind of a laid back night usually, and yeah.
Like come over at 5 or
7. Yes. Yes. You do whatever they want to do. Well, there's lots of materials if you want to take a look at some of these things up here. Chuck and I are going to be here to talk with you. Let's just end with a word of prayer and then we'll be done. Father, we do praise you and thank you for what you have done using the approach of the Bible overview, that you are letting your lion loose in the lives of people. And Father, I pray that you would give each person here wisdom and discernment as to how they should or could apply this approach to their own ministry. Father, we pray that this Bible overview would be the foundations of many generations that love you and serve you with their whole heart. I thank you for each person here today, for Chuck and his assistants, encouragement, and Nancy. And we just commit the rest of the day to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.